The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
It is that time, ladies and gentlemen, the time we've all been waiting for. This is now the 8th annual mock trade deadline. Welcome on Dan Feldman, now of Dunked On Prime, Danny LaRue of Dunked On Prime, and many other things, and Kevin Pelton of ESPN. How's everyone doing?
Doing well.
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. This is I'm ready. It's Saturday morning. My wife and child are on vacation right now just to get away from me during mock trade deadline preparation. We are ready to rock here. No distractions. Let's start off, as we like to do here, introducing our teams. KP, why don't you start us off and I'll go next.
You're in like LeBron playoff locked in mode. No social media. Boston Celtics. Our goal is to convert Danilo Gallinari's salary for 2023-24 into an extra big man for Robert Williams III insurance.
Bucks here. Yes, I actually get to have one of the good teams this season. We need to upgrade our two-way depth and shooting, and we are very much willing to put just about anything that's not tied down into that effort.
I'll go next because I know Danny will never talk until everybody says hello. And hello to Danny. I know he's been waiting to get in there. The Bulls are going to listen on Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, but we're probably just staying the course. Kobe White is quite available ahead of restricted free agency, and Andre Drummond can be had too.
The Utah Jazz are willing to listen on everyone but Lauri Markkanen, Walker Kessler, and Ochai Agbaji. We are looking to sell high on players that are not in our long-term plans. We could serve as a facilitator if reasonably possible, and we will primarily do trades if it could eventually lead to our trade partner getting fired in less than a year.
The Los Angeles Lakers are hoping to improve our roster without capitulating on our tradable first-round picks in 2027 and 29.
The Houston Rockets would like to move Eric Gordon for a first, although we are going to try not to take back too much salary for next year. And we'll at least listen on Jayshon Tate and Kenyon Martin, but you'd have to bowl us over. Dan?
I was apparently muted for all of that. The Oklahoma City Thunder would love to make a big splash trade. We clearly have our act together. No technical problems in Oklahoma City, but only for someone who will be around long term. We're not treating this season as particularly important. We're perfectly content continuing to overachieve with our young roster.
You've just been fired by Sam Presti.
I can't say I don't deserve it.
For that screw up. Your director of muting and unmuting position has been revoked.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are intending to figure out what we want to do with D'Angelo Russell and his salary slot. However, that could be just keeping D'Angelo Russell, and we'll listen to make moves.
That one was on me, wasn't it? The New Orleans Pelicans are looking to pursue a player who might be a playoff difference maker for us. Devontae Graham, very available, as well as Jackson Hayes heading into his restricted free agency.
The San Antonio Spurs have a boatload of cap space that we are happy to use to take on bad money for next year for the right price. And we also have useful players, Jakob Poeltl, Josh Richardson, and Doug McDermott, that we would be willing to move for the right price as well.
The Philadelphia 76ers would love to aim high using Tobias Harris, but we recognize we're short on draft assets. We could move Matisse Thybulle for someone who'd help more now. We definitely plan to get out of the luxury tax, and if that isn't happening with some other bigger move, we can do it by dumping Furkan Korkmaz and or Jaden Springer.
The Atlanta Hawks are open to moving John Collins. However, it is not mandatory for us. We are open to keeping him. So we will listen, but we are not desperate to make a move.
The New York Knicks are hoping to get value for some of the players who are out of our rotation right now, including impending restricted free agent Cam Reddish and Evan Fournier.
The Indiana Pacers will surely be able to renegotiate and extend Miles Turner. So the asking price for him is two firsts or two significant assets. And Buddy Hield, if you could give us a first for him, we would also be listening.
The LA Clippers want a point guard, want a center. Money is no object.
The reigning defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors would love to add a capable rotation piece or two, ideally somebody who could be in the closing five. And since our first round picks are a little encumbered in the near term, probably using young players potentially to achieve that goal.
The Phoenix Suns are finally going to trade Jay Crowder. We really believe it's going to happen already. We're also hoping to add some backcourt depth. Landry Shamet is also available, and we're not going to hang up on you if you call us. We're quietly listening on DeAndre Ayton.
The Detroit Pistons are going to get absurd value for Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks, or they will not be traded. Listen on Sadiq Bey if a team wants to give up a very good pick or a player that has future upside, and we're looking to acquire a power forward who can't shoot to play next to Isaiah Stewart and Jalen Duren.
The Cleveland Cavaliers would like to add a small forward, ideally someone in the 3-and-D mold. If we do find that player, Caris LeVert could go. We also have Jetty Osman and Dylan Windler for matching salary.
The Dallas Mavericks are looking for players who can help us ideally now and long term. If we can clean up our books in the process, that would be wonderful.
The Portland Trail Blazers are hoping to improve our size and shooting without sacrificing too much in terms of long term value. We are listening on Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic.
The Charlotte Hornets are making basically everyone except LaMelo Ball available, and we'll just see what the prices are. There are a few of those guys we might be interested in retaining, so you have to give us real value. Others of those will take what we can get.
The Brooklyn Nets would like to add front court depth. Patty Mills, Joe Harris, and Seth Curry are available in that order. We could also include Cam Thomas or the Philly 2027 pick to get a bigger upgrade. We wouldn't hate lowering our luxury tax bill, but we could also go higher for the right move.
The Memphis Grizzlies are not concerned by their recent losing streak. Instead, we are excited about our current team and the future. So we'll consider making some bigger swings and some smaller swings, but only if it makes it better. And as a note, our scorekeeper is not available for trade.
The Sacramento Kings are hoping to improve our wing and center depth in pursuit of our first playoff berth since 2006. Terrence Davis is available along with Rashawn Holmes and Alex Len.
The Orlando Magic, Gary Harris and Terrence Ross, just might be available. Mo Bamba might be even more available than them. But we also would be totally interested in just retaining those guys, two of whom have non-guarantees for next year. We'd potentially be willing to take on bad money for next year in exchange for one of these guys, but we'd have to get to first round value or a good prospect because we also could use cap space next offseason.
The Miami Heat are targeting a power forward. Kyle Lowry is more available than you think. We definitely want to stay below the luxury tax line, and we'd prefer to clear roster spots, open extra room below the tax line for bought out players in converting Orlando Robinson's two-way. Anyone want Duncan Robinson?
The Denver Nuggets are thrilled with how this season is going so far. We're open to move it to listening, at least on Bones Highland. We could save some money. We could improve our depth just if the offer presents itself. We also can't really trade first, so it's going to be more a move on the margins.
The Washington Wizards are in the play-in spots as we record this, so right on track. We've already made our big move with the Rui Hachimura trade, but we would still like to clear a roster spot to convert Jordan Goodwin's contract, and wouldn't hang up on you if you called us about impending free agents Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Kuzma, but with Kuzma in particular, you better be ready to come real strong with an offer.
The Toronto Raptors are willing to listen to offers on the big four: Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and Gary Trent. But again, you will have to overwhelm us, particularly for the first three of those. The offer has to be big enough that we can go to our friends and say, hey, we couldn't turn this down. Or sorry, our fans and our friends, and say we couldn't turn this down.
Depends on that,
everyone?
Yeah, depends how the trades are, whether your fans are your friends or not.
Oh, it is that time again. Wedding season. Indochino's custom suits will have you walking into a wedding looking like $1 million, feeling like $1 million, because their suits are custom made to fit you perfectly. You can get a tailored fit from the comfort of your home. You can set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website, choose customizations without even leaving the house. Indochino was the official outfitter of my wedding. I got a tux from them. All my groomsmen got custom fitted sport jackets, and I'd like to think we all look great. Order your custom suit now. Be ready for wedding season, whether it's at home or in person at a showroom New Year, which I actually recommend. That's what I did. An Indochino style guide can walk you through all of the amazing customizations that they have. The lapels, the lining, single-breasted, double-breasted. You can feel the fabrics in person. That's definitely the best way to do it, in my opinion. But you can also do it from home as well. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com. Use that familiar Capspace code to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com. I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. Indochino.com. Don't forget that Capspace code to let them know you came from us. Renters, you ever feel like you're stuck in this loop of rent payments, just watching your money vanish into thin air? It's time to turn that rent game around and start earning some serious rewards. That's where Built Rewards comes in. Built is breaking ground as the first rewards program that hooks you up with points on your rent. Even if you're still rocking the old school rent check vibes, Built Rewards has got your back. They'll mail the check for you. It's like having a personal rent paying assistant. Every month, pay your rent and watch the Built points roll in. Use points to jet off on a dream vacation. Put your points towards a flight or hotel stay with 500 plus airlines and 700,000 plus hotels and properties. You can also use your points towards a future rent payment or towards a future down payment on a home. Pay rent hassle-free through the Built Rewards app. Your rent game just got a major upgrade. Earn points by paying rent right now when you go to joinbuilt.com/capspace. That's joinbuilt, B-I-L-T, joinbuilt.com/capspace. Don't forget that /capspace URL. All right, well, I guess we need to get started here now. And I think the place to do that is with the Toronto Raptors. And we want to see, and I think we can start with Pascal Siakam, probably the biggest name here, certainly the best player that was mentioned as possibly being available. Our season isn't going that well, but we also can hold on to him. We could move him in the summer. We could extend him if he makes All-NBA. So we're not really under any pressure, at least that's what we're telling you, to make any kind of a move here. So are there any teams that are willing to come super strong for Pascal Siakam?
Suns here. I don't know that we want to commit to super strong, but just testing the waters here. If we built something around DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, whatever, the two of us, we can go and shop him to a third team because he's probably not a fit for you right now, and get some pick value that way, and then include some, but not an overwhelming number of our own picks.
Yeah, Ayton, I think we've been looking for a center for a while. I'm not sure he quite fits the profile of what we need defensively, and his effort has been, shall we say, inconsistent over the years. He's on a max contract. I think he's overpaid on that max contract. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you would need to pay us to take him, but he doesn't have any value, I would say, independent of draft picks. So, no, I mean, we would be looking for a full draft type of offer, I think, from you guys, particularly because you would project to be quite good in the coming years.
If that's the case, then I don't think that makes sense for us.
Thunder here. We would be interested. Unfortunately, we think salary matching is going to be an issue because obviously we're not trading Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We're not trading Chet Holmgren. We're probably not trading Josh Giddey at this point. So with roster spot salaries, but we just wanted to see if there was something out there that might work, especially if you're moving other players and opening up roster spots. Lou Dort would be the primary piece coming back in terms of players. Obviously, we'd go pick heavy. We have plenty of picks. But we could also, in terms of getting toward that matching salary, include somebody like Usman Jang, who should have some positive value, Darius Bazley, Eye of the Beholder there, David Nwamba, we could throw in for a little more matching salary.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I think none of your draft picks, particularly if you got Siakam, really project to be particularly sexy at this point. A couple of hacks on their podcast ranked all of the future traded picks going forward, and the ones that we own were not really, or that you guys own, were not prominently featured. And obviously, if you get Pascal and you're already at 500 this year, your own future picks wouldn't necessarily appear to have that much upside either. But the bigger problem, I think, is I literally, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I hadn't thought about this at all beforehand. I don't see how the matching salary could happen. Like, if you're not going to include Holmgren, you're basically getting to, you got 20 million.
So we could get there with that package I mentioned of Dort, Jang, Baisley, and Nwaba. Now, obviously, roster spots might be an issue if we're going 4-1 there, but I don't know
Nwaba, what else we have. Nwaba got waived.
Ah, good point. Yes, I don't know why I still had him. Okay, well, that does make it a little tougher, but
you might be able to do it with Muscala in that spot, but I think it would probably take you into the luxury tax.
I mean, the other thing is, I think you're not getting that trade done, I don't think, without either Giddy or Jalen Williams involved.
Okay.
That's very, very interesting to me. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of enthusiasm for second team All-NBA, two-time All-NBA forward, will be an All-Star and possibly All-NBA this year, Pascal Siakam.
Well, I'll say briefly for my teams, like the Utah Jazz, he's not a great fit with what we have and where we're going, as good a player as Siakam is, because where do you put it with him, with Markkanen and Kessler? And then for the Grizzlies, they actually, I mean, he'd be an intriguing fit, but the salary matching is just a bear because of the guys that we would potentially include. So who knows? Maybe we'll be interested in a different Raptor who has a more matchable salary.
Well, I think we could get there in terms of, because you guys have plenty of room below the tax too. I mean, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, Danny Green, I think that would be plenty of matching salary.
Yeah, but we're also not willing to throw in those assets if we're including three players that are a part of our team. Like, that's, you know, then we're talking like minimal draft assets coming back to you, if that.
You do have to give something to get something. It is tough.
Lakers here.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Pascal is one of the players we'd be willing to trade our future first rounders for.
Yeah, so this is 27 and 29 unprotected. You know, if there were a way to get to one more unprotected first round pick worth of value, I think we would have to think about it. But I just, and again, part of the problem too is it's really difficult to go back to ownership and our fans and say, hey, Rudy Gobert went for this. Like, Pascal Siakam is going to go for clearly way less than that. And, you know, the nuance of him having less time on his contract and the Gobert deal being a completely insane price that'll never be matched in NBA history, I that could be lost on some of the less rational actors. So I think it's just, we'll probably need to just play out the season. Maybe we'll start playing better. We've been playing a little better recently, and just kind of see where it goes this offseason. We could potentially extend him. We could find out how much he's willing to take an extension. And I don't know that is, we'll put it this way. Given the tenor of these offers, I don't feel a lot of risk that we're going to get less for him this offseason if we wanted to move him.
And to like step outside this, the matching salary will be a lot easier in an offseason setting than it is right now for a number that big.
Yeah. I mean, Russell Westbrook obviously would be the salary going back, and we would, we'd be taking out a lot of money there too. So that would be another issue probably for us that would put us well into the tax, just a straight up swap there. And it's tough. I mean, I guess we could just send you back, you know, the likes of like a Thaddeus Young or something. We've got other guys that could be used to match that, but that's not like an overwhelming package for a all-star in his late 20s. Like, I think that's just, we can't do that. Anyone else out there? New Orleans, any interest?
Not the player we're targeting.
Ooh, okay.
A bunch of my teams have interest, but if those packages are getting shot down, we don't have the assets.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought Phoenix would come stronger. That was probably my biggest hope. I don't think Sac has the scratch to do it because of that Herter pick. Sac, if you guys could get the protection taken off of that pick, you still could only offer two firsts anyway, right?
And we assume it would cost us Keegan Murray, and we're very excited about Keegan Murray's future.
Yeah, I guess actually Keegan Murray would definitely have some value to us. I mean, I think you actually do have the assets to get it done if you wanted to, Sac, but it doesn't sound like you're interested in it.
Not our focus.
Blazers, if you take the protection off that pick that you owe Chicago, Shaden Sharp is Canadian.
I think this is maybe suggesting that even though Pascal Siakam is the Raptors' best player, he's actually not the right first person to discuss for them, because the market is much broader for other players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some of these teams, you said you have other targets in mind. Is it to the point where you want to exhaust those options first and then you might consider coming back, or just what we're looking for is just would never happen?
Probably wouldn't happen.
All right. Let's move on. OG Anunoby. Anyone interested? I think we are. The bidding, I think, would start at two unprotected firsts that are far enough out that I could at least convince myself that they would be, could have some upside.
Memphis Grizzlies here. We have all our own picks moving forward. We also have the Golden State Warriors pick, which is pretty lightly protected. So we could do two of those. That would be fine. And a matching salary for you would not be bad long term. Presumably Danny Green would be the starting point, and then we would figure it out from there.
Oh man, what a sad story. Danny Green coming back with the best, or quickest ACL return that we've basically ever seen, and then he gets traded before he can actually come back. I guess that if this were actually the trade deadline, he would have debuted 2 days earlier, which whatever it is, so that would be even more deflating.
Actually, Memphis, we'll hear your general response to that.
So certainly I would want one of your picks to be an unprotected 29 first, because Ja Morant's contract expires in 28. Not that he wouldn't necessarily resign, but also I think he's a guy who's going to peak a little bit earlier. I think we would want to get Zaire Williams in that deal too. So maybe
you want two firsts and Zaire Williams?
Well, I mean, the problem is that like you guys are a really good team and you're really young. So it's hard to get too excited about the upside. So
that's a useful clarification, because then you're not asking for two first round picks. You're asking for two non-bottom five first round picks. That's a materially different ask.
I think I said it would have to be some picks that I could get excited about the upside for, but or maybe that was with Siakam. But in any event, yeah. Sorry for not clarifying. No, I'm not like the Memphis's 23 and 25 firsts are not going to get it done. No, it needs to be more than that. Particularly given that he's on a pretty good contract still. And I think we'll probably end up being extendable. Like that's another thing that we can, again, we're not under like that much pressure with him. So it has to be something where we could be like, yes, this was like a really good package. So I think it would be Zaire Williams, 29 unprotected first, and then one more of your relatively near-term shitty first.
The question, I think Memphis would probably say no anyway, but this is a good clarification. Can we talk briefly to OG Anunoby's agent? I mean, this is probably going to be something quickly. Like, in a normal circumstance, let's say with Memphis, but if you want to be more specific, are you willing to take like a fair contract, or like when I know you're probably not going to extend, but are there places that you just wouldn't intend to re-sign?
No, I think it'd be willing to potentially re-sign in Memphis. That's our understanding as Toronto, at least. I think, but you know, take it as your guide that Jeremy Grant just turned down $25 million a year, and I'm younger and better than Jeremy Grant. So that's
let's see where the offers go. We're probably not going to do that, but maybe you come closer to us.
New Orleans here. How would you value Herb Jones in a deal like this? Would you value him as like equivalent to a first round pick with upside? Because, you know, you look at his contract, his production, he's obviously a perfect fit for what you guys want to do.
Yeah. Not shoot and defend. Yeah.
And handle.
Yeah. I mean, and we believe in our development ability as you guys do. So I think like kind of late first round value. I mean, I would say he's kind of lower on the shooting potential than say someone like Anunoby was when he first came to Toronto. So I don't think he'll be evolved to be as good as Anunoby, but it's certainly a guy who I think will be a very solid rotation player for a long time. So that's kind of like late first round value to us.
So what of our first round picks would you need along with him to make this work, or multiple, I guess, if they're lower value?
Well, I think we would do it for Herb and getting in on that swap rights with the Lakers this year and the Lakers deferred pick.
I think that's going to be too rich for us, probably.
You have a counter?
We would be willing to do this year's swap as long as we top four protected it, and then one of our lesser picks.
Well, so then what happens with that? So it's just the swap. Yeah, no, that's way, way less.
We can determine what exactly would happen in that case. But also we're kind of weighing, we have another target that, you know, we might even like as a slightly better fit for us than OG and Anunoby.
Okay, well, maybe we can possibly write him down as someone to hold off on as well then. I mean, I guess, again, like, it's just, if you have other guys that you like better, that seems fine. But if you're, if you think that that ask is absurd, then, you know, all right, we can just totally table it.
I don't think it's absurd, but it's too high. You're getting one of those or the other. You're not getting both of them.
Well, are we getting it unprotected, though? That's the key.
No, we can't trade Victor Wembanyama potentially to you for in this trade. Like, Victor Wembanyama is clearly much more valuable than OG Anunoby.
What if it were top two protect?
We would consider that.
So it would be looking at. Do you want to still if you have someone else that you'd be willing to give up more for than OG Anunoby? I mean, I still think it's probably more efficient just for the show to just to circle back on him possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say the Utah Jazz are conceptually interested as well. But if we want to do whoever the Pelicans have top on their list, we're fine with that.
Well, Blazers here. Like, how would you value Anthony Simons in a trade like this?
That's interesting. God, it's so hard for Toronto. So I guess we're holding on. In this scenario, we're holding on to Siakam. You know, it would kind of totally change the theory of our team. I mean, I think maybe our thought would be at that point that if we got Simons, we trade Anunoby, then we're re-signing Van Vliet, holding on to Siakam, also got Barnes, and then we need, you know, we'd really need a center, I guess, to fill that team out and try to just reorient around this whole, you know, four power forwards playing at once ideal.
Yusuf Nurkic is available.
Now it's still tough too, the fit of Siakam and Barnes when you're not, and also a center at the same time, all in the starting lineup. Like, that also is kind of difficult for us. So like, it almost would kind of make a little more sense to move Siakam, but if we're going to build around Barnes, those guys are pretty redundant with one another on the offensive end. Yeah, Simons is an interesting one. Sure you don't want Siakam instead?
That salary is a real tough fit with our structure.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Jody Allen is not Paul Allen in terms of the willingness to pay.
I don't know that Paul Allen would be willing to pay this much for a team that is currently around 500.
Pascal, you add Pascal Siakam to Dame, like, he's in theory a top 15 player in the NBA. That's at least how we'd say, like, he'd easily be the best player that Dame has played.
The draft picks are probably more of an impediment than the salary, really.
Yeah.
That's LaMarcus Aldridge eraser.
No, I suppose it is. That's true. Yeah. In the modern era. Look, are you waking up with a ton of back pain or shoulder pain or neck pain? The number one reason probably to consider is your mattress. Maybe it's time for a new mattress. And I highly recommend that you check out Helix Sleep, which you can do risk-free with their 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And they have 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, the Ultra Premium Elite Collections. They have Helix Plus, which is designed for big and tall sleepers. Helix Kids, endorsed by child sleep experts. You can take their 2-minute sleep quiz. That's what my wife and I did over 10 years ago now. We still have a number of Helix Sleep mattresses that we've gotten over the years, and we are extremely satisfied with them even now, 10 years later. You might be like, I kind of want to try it out beforehand. Going to the store is not really going to give you any information. You're going to be like, lay down, like, oh, do I take off my shoes? Maybe I should leave my shoes on, but then I got to have my feet hanging off the mattress because I can't leave my shoes on and sleep normally on this mattress. And then you're going to feel awkward laying there after about 30 seconds. Like, you can't determine anything in 30 seconds. So you're going to have to take it home, and you might as well just get it delivered straight to your door and utilize that 100-night trial. And there's never been a better time to use Helix because they are offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. You can go to helixsleep.com/capspace. Easy to remember, /capspace. We talk about all the time here on the program. That's helixsleep.com/capspace. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. So I will be honest, I tend to pack on the pounds a little bit during the winter, holiday season, not getting outside as much. So in springtime, I try to eat healthier, and I'm really excited to try Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Each meal is fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. This is going to be fantastic for me during the playoffs, when a lot of times I feel like I don't have time to eat healthy, and now I can choose from a number of their delicious but healthy options. I like to go keto. On occasion, they have that. They have vegan and veggie options as well. Here's what they've got for their keto weekly menu this week. Sun-dried tomato chicken with zucchini noodles. Spicy poblano beef bowl with roasted broccoli. Chicken piccata with cauliflower mashed and broccoli. Or if you want to go to their chef's choice weekly menu, jalapeno lime cheddar chicken. That sounds fantastic. Greek lemon chicken with roasted potatoes. This all sounds really, really good. Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up, heat, and savor the good stuff. And they're also celebrating Earth Day all month long as well. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/dunked50, special code for this one. That's factormeals.com/dunked50 and use the code dunked50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code dunked50 at factormeals.com/dunked50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Yeah, Dan, none of your teams are interested in any of these guys right now?
76ers here. We could do something. Obviously, Tobias Harris would have to be the matching salary, which would make it complicated, but Tyrese Maxey would be available.
For OG Anunoby. Interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's very interesting.
Huh. Now, as we look at it, you're probably going to have to send us back Boucher and Thaddeus Young also. Because once we put in Tobias Harris to get up to Anunoby's number, then our outgoing salary is way higher. Then you're going to have to send something back.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one decent thing is we have plenty of kind of salaries that are mid-level that we're not that concerned about. Wow, Tyrese Maxey. And also, Tobias Harris actually could help us. Like, that would make us better this year. Would Philly really do that?
Well, my concern is that, you know, I don't know how we're going to add salary in this. I don't know how keen we are in taking back Thaddeus Young, Chris Boucher. We might want, that was just like the bare minimum. We might want something else back a little bit. You know, would you do that with Gary Trent instead of those two?
So Anunoby and Trent for Maxey and Harris. Wow. So, yeah, I'm trying to think if that sounds like that kind of. Yeah, I mean, I think I would do that. That sounds pretty good. because it's like we get younger, we get cheaper, in theory, you know, more team control going forward with Maxey. You know, we could even move on from Van Vliet in the offseason or bring it, like, it just gives us a lot more optionality to have one more young, cheap player that would be a building block. Huh. Any of the other teams, like, I'm pretty inclined to take that. Any of these other teams, you willing to up your offers?
Well, I guess New Orleans' question first off is what from us would you consider is beating that offer? But then second, we may want to talk to our other team.
Yeah. I mean, I think both of those Lakers picks with very minimal protection probably gets you in the ballpark. I mean, you've got some young guys too we could maybe talk about, although, you know, like Herb is interesting, but he's just a really tough fit with Scotty Barnes, so he would profile as more of a bench guy for us. You know, Trey Murphy would be someone we'd be interested in, though.
Right now, we'd rather keep Murphy.
Yeah, well, everyone would rather keep anyone who's any good.
I mean, I actually think I don't think Herb and Murphy are that dissimilar to me in terms of trade value, but Murphy fits better if we have OG Anunoby on the roster. Like, a lot of Herb's value is lost if we have OG.
Yeah.
Just to be abundantly clear here, Warriors, you don't consider James Wiseman to have high first round value, correct? Because that would have to be an important part of an Anunoby trade.
No, and I don't know how we would even get to like the Warriors can't take on like another $5 million, can they?
We could do something. We could have Moody, and there are a couple other ways that we.
Maxey is just so much better than I think any other asset is being talked about. I guess a lot of it is just how good do you consider Tyrese Maxey? But I think with the athleticism we have, we are kind of in a better position to absorb some of his deficiencies.
One thing quickly I'll note on this framework for the Raptors, this, as I have it, would push them into the tax, but they could easily get out of it by making another move.
Yeah, Spurs and Pacers here, we're all ears when these things happen. So, yeah, Pels, I think, you know, Dyson Daniels, I would say to me, Dyson Daniels and both of those lightly protected Lakers picks are kind of about the same in terms of value. So like two of the three of those.
I mean, I guess if you don't think this year's Lakers pick top two protected is the best single chip you're getting in return here as compared to Maxey, then we probably have too big a difference of valuation on that one.
Man, I can't believe this has happened this early in the podcast. I've now been offered both Simons and Maxey. These guys are just like, we've been talking for like 3 years about how these guys are some of like the hardest guys in the whole league to value. The Heat going to offer me Tyler Hero next? Is that what's going to happen?
Hey, he can't be traded. Jordan Poole would be on the table, but he's functionally unacquirable.
Yeah, the poison pill, right? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at the 2021 mock trade deadline, I was trading Lowry as the Raptors and didn't want Maxey and shuffled him off to the Grizzlies for a first round pick.
Oh my God.
Well, we could bring this full circle and the Heat could offer Lowry.
But anyways, right, if you think that's that good a deal, you should probably take it.
Yeah. So just straight up Harris and Maxey for Trent. And I mean, yeah, so we've got $5 million below the tax. Harris and Maxey for Trent and Anunoby. Both these teams are kind of like right at the tax. I mean, we've got like $4.5 million in variance or so, and Philly has a lot less than that. They're like right over. I mean, I guess there could be another move involved. I mean, we're at the point where seconds, you know, this is a big enough deal where just throwing in some second to get somebody to take somebody else, you know, fine, we'll fucking do that. No problem. I don't anticipate that like the Spurs cap space for dumping salary is going to like all get used up or something like that.
Well, there's also the point that theoretically this changes Toronto's willingness to trade Fred VanVleet, and that deal might resolve the tax issue anyway.
No, I think we'd be more keen to hold on to VanVleet actually after this move and just see what this year brings. I actually think he's not a bad fit next to Maxey at this point, certainly on the offensive. I mean, we just to upgrade our shooting like that. And, you know, Tobias Harris would be he's a good enough shooter to play the three, too. So that's, I mean, I guess we're still kind of have a weird team because, again, but that's really more of a Siakam and Barnes issue than, you know, we would get a little smaller and less athletic. So I'm still not sure like how good that team is this year. So, man, I think just the being able to get Maxey for someone who seemed like quite a flight risk in a year and a half. Yeah, I think I would have to do that. I mean, what's your thinking, Sixers, is just you get more defense, get more athletic, and Maxey is kind of redundant with Harden.
Yeah, I guess if we're putting it in order, the top two for sure are more defense on the wing and then the redundancy of Maxey and Harden.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Mark it down.
Great. We were prepared to put in a pick, maybe, but it's nice not to have to make that decision. We're thrilled with this.
I got to say, I think that's an amazing trade for the Sixers.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I just like, that's very interesting. We'll have to see what do you think, Danny?
I think you were valuing Maxey more highly than I would. But from Toronto's perspective, this definitely makes the offensive fit a lot more logical because especially if the eventual end game is something involving Barnes and Maxey with or without Siakam, like you can get there. And then what you need defensively, because you're going to be less switchable, is a good center. That's acquirable. You know, like if the idea is to build around that foundation, they can do it. For the Sixers, the other part that Dan didn't mention is, depending on how they want to handle this with Gary Trent, it saves them a ton of money for next year. Like, and this makes their roster a lot more malleable and manageable, which is pretty good. And maybe they even keep Gary Trent. Gary Trent could actually, I could see him being kind of a wild card for them in terms of like, if he's shooting well, you have him on the floor. If you don't, if he's not, then you don't. So I personally like this deal more for Philly than I do for Toronto, but I do understand the rationale for Toronto as well.
Yeah, I think that most people in Philly would be aghast at this deal.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to find out. They'll let us know. I think they'd like it.
I mean, some people might like it, but I think like just your average Philly fan would be like, Maxey for like, you know, Anunoby is like a role player. What is he ever, you know, it would be like that kind of thought. But I think it's really just the team control of Maxey. You know, I mean, like, I think Maxey's going to make an all-star team at some point in his career. You know,
wow.
Like he's,
I'd bet against that.
No,
I mean, he could.
He might not deserve it.
50%.
What'd you say?
I'd bet against that. I think it's well under 50%. He might. I wouldn't be shocked if he develops into that. But that's, if you're doing a Watfo, I'm going way under.
Yeah, 50. I mean, it's also we needed to get younger and have more team control, but also to have a player who's going to help us win this year rather than just, oh, we're going to go into the tank this year. We couldn't find a workable deal for Siakam. So that is off the table now, right? Like if we'd done the Siakam deal, then I'd be much more focused on getting draft picks. But I think to just continue to try to improve. I like just the fact that Maxey gets better every year. Like that's that definitely means something for a, for a development
oriented. It's interesting, Nate, and I've obviously we're in different shoes. Like, I mean, we did top prospects not that long ago, and Maxey, this is his age 22 season. Like, I seriously considered, you know, like considered him, but like the idea that he was there, and like I think KP, was I right that you were bewildered that he was valuing that over some of the picks you were offering? And like that's like, you mean you can value things differently, but like that I found that notable as well.
Sam, yeah, and it, also that Tobias Harris 2023-24 year, like obviously you're getting Maxey pretty cheap then, so it's like $43 million for them combined, but $39 million for Tobias is a lot of Tobias Harris.
Yeah. Well, we also, I mean. But he's still like a good player who can help us at least win some games. You know, it's not as toxic going forward. And yeah, I mean, we still have Maxey on the cheap, right? I mean, I think it's just this gives us so much more optionality. Like my assessment of the big problem with Toronto is we just had too many of these contracts all ending at once.
That's fair.
The hope of re-signing all of those guys, especially when this wasn't like some awesome team that should be going deep into the luxury tax, was an issue. The fit wasn't great. Like we obviously, like rim protection and shooting are the two things we didn't have. Trent was also going to be an expiring contract. We didn't want to re-sign him. So I think this is all. And so we're still willing to listen here on Van Vliet, but I think this trade probably makes it so we're not as interested in moving him. But again, we're all ears.
As long as we're doing so much analysis on this trade, I do have a question for you. Nate, you said if you had traded Siakam, you would have been more interested in draft picks for Ananobi. I'm just curious why, if you're so high on Maxey, where you think he's going to develop into All-Star, he's still very young. Like, why would you just not want somebody like him anyway? Or are you just saying the Tobias Harris part of it?
No, because we would want to tank this year. That would be the idea. Once we got rid of Siakam, okay. We would want to tank this year.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Well, so I think the place to go here is Pelton has been indicating that there's somebody that he has a high value on with the Pelicans who have a ton of picks. We should probably just find out who that is and do that negotiation.
Agreed.
Unrelated, this is annoying because I had trades that I wanted to make with both Philly and Toronto that I feel like are going to be off the board now because of this one.
Philly's
New Orleans target, look, it would not be a dunked on mock deadline or mock offseason.
Here we go.
Pelicans did not make a run at Miles Turner.
Yes!
It actually makes a ton of sense, this deadline in particular, because the Pelicans have this unusual salary structure where they've got some wiggle room under the tax this year, but next year things get worse. So what would be an ideal scenario for that? Paying Miles Turner via renegotiation and extension a much higher salary in 2022-23 that declines in 2023-24 and 2024-25. Yes. So really our first call actually has to be to Miles Turner's agent to see what kind of renegotiation and extension he would accept, because as long as it falls within the extended trade rules, it doesn't matter how much money we add to his salary this year before a trade.
So the idea would be giving Miles Turner a bunch of money this year, and then to make it fall within the extended trade rules, the only thing that would have to happen is it would have to be only two new years after this.
Correct.
And less than whatever the renegotiated salary is.
I mean, it'd have to be less than a 5% raise, but obviously we're going to decline it, so that's not going to be an issue.
Well, I mean, I think the other issue there too is that how Indiana wants to use their cap space. You're going to have to take back matching salary for the renegotiated amount of Miles Turner. I think that seems tough. You know, I guess, does anyone want to be Miles Turner's agent? It seems like only going out 2 years might not be enough for him.
Get you back into free agency still in your prime and when the cap goes up. I feel like it's actually an ideal time for you to hit free agency, Miles Turner.
Danny, you've always had a high value on Miles Turner, probably a similar to perhaps what his agent would have. How do you feel about this idea? Do you want to try to see if you can negotiate this with KP?
Give me some numbers, Mr. Griffin Pelton.
So we feel like, you know, comfortably we can add about $11 million this season. So that would be $29 million from your current salary of $18 million, including likely incentives. And we're thinking probably a 2-year structure. It's basically equivalent to a 2-year $50 million deal.
So basically one way of thinking of this is that it's a 2-year $61 million contract.
No, 2-year 50.
No, what I'm saying is if you add in the
$11 million is what you're getting this year.
No, but what I'm saying is if we were adding...
I'm not saying...
KP already added that in.
So you're saying basically $40 million in new money. Oh, yeah, no, that's not nearly enough.
You think that's nearly enough?
Well, I mean, I'm not... I've had...
I believe you're familiar
with this, that my client has had some injury issues in his past. And while we are... I think he can get more than
take the guaranteed money right now.
Yeah, but only for 2 years. I mean, he can get a 4-year deal at more than $20 million
Pacers
a year.
Here, we also have offered Miles Turner much more than that already. Just can let you know that. And it hasn't come to fruition. And in part, too, I think we're all kind of waiting to see how this deadline plays out. But we certainly would and have communicated that we would offer Miles Turner a lot more than $50 million guaranteed in new money.
So if you can get that maybe into the $60 million range, then I think we could have a conversation, because then it's like you get back out there. But if you're not willing to go there, then I don't, for that kind of a deal, I do like my fit in New Orleans. And I think that, you know, I could increase my value, and whether I stay or leave in 2 years would be, or 3 years, I guess, would be there. But for $10 million this year and then a $20 million year, also the salary that low makes it hard to negotiate a future extension.
Well, I think it'd also be almost, because you'd have to be 2 years out.
Yes, 2 years out. There would be a window, but it would be a narrow window.
Yeah. And what is the most that, yeah, I mean, I guess technically the most that Turner could get would be, you know, bump up to the max this year and then you're,
and then a 5% off that
for the next 2 years after that. But,
he could get a next year's max as well. The 5% is only if they're trading him.
Yeah. So Pacers here as well. I mean, we also have the component New Orleans that other teams might be interested in Miles Turner, and also that we might want to just hold on to him at a price that we like. So
are other teams offering two first round picks? And is that softening your extension offer? I mean, we'd want to protect them a little bit at the high end, but
I mean, my concern is just that he's not going to take that. I mean, I guess that's
right.
That's a big concern too. Whereas other teams might just give him a normal extension. I mean, I think the thing is, if I'm Miles Turner, I probably would rather just get traded to New Orleans and get a normal extension for way more money than just be limited to 2 years. Just a new contract for way more money this offseason, or just potentially be a free agent and let the bidding commence.
I mean, New Orleans, we're going to be limited by the tax next season. Deep into the tax.
As a point of clarification, just because I'm interested, what is the matching salary here for New Orleans?
Graham and... Well, that's part of why you're getting the two first round picks and Valanciunas.
Okay.
What two first, though? Obviously, that's another big question here.
So we were planning to offer the 2025 first, and then next year we have this swap with Milwaukee. We'd give you the better of those picks, but top four protected.
Well, we would just get in on the swap for next year.
You get the better of those two picks.
But how can you trade that though for next year?
You can. 24. It's a bundle of sticks. You can trade the pick that they hold is the superior of those two picks. They can trade that pick.
No, but I don't think they can due to Stepien issues.
Of course we can. We have a million draft picks.
Well, that Lakers first.
We are guaranteed to have a first in either 2024 or 25, thanks to the Lakers. So therefore, there's no possible Stepien.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'd be interested actually to know for sure if that's like, it could be one of those technical things where it's like, right. Well, hey, what if you use it at the draft in 24, but then you don't have,
we'd still have a 26. So I don't think that there's a scenario where it could ever like not have a pick within the next 2 years.
Okay.
Well, because the idea is we're going to make these 1 year only picks, by the way. Mm. But I mean,
who else is out there? I mean, so this is give me those picks again.
2024 better of Milwaukee and New Orleans and 2025 first.
Yeah. I mean, the renegotiation and extension thing, as incredibly exciting as it would be to have a renegotiation and extend and trade, I don't think that makes sense for either us or Turner. Like we'd rather just trade him at his salary now, not have to take back more bad salary from you to match his new salary.
We don't think Valanciunas is bad salary.
It's okay. We also would be wasting our cap space on that this year that we could use for other stuff.
Is there like 29 million of other stuff?
Well, but you're taking 12 million out of that, right? Like it's just,
yeah.
I don't think
you're going to use those extra 12 million is what I'm saying.
This is feeling like it's going to be a long mock trade deadline. I don't know if I want to, this is like only our second negotiation here. I don't know if I'm quite ready to get there. No, so I think ultimately we're not really that interested in that as the Pacers. And I mean, I don't know, Miles Turner's agent. I mean, do you agree with me that you would rather just like go to New Orleans and be a free agent rather than take this renegotiation and extension deal?
I'm saying we're not willing to make this offer without it's contingent on the renegotiation.
Okay.
As Miles Turner's agent, we would consider if the offer were richer. Like I've brought up 60 million as the threshold here. So like it is a possibility, but at this number, it is just it's not enough because I'm not saving that much risk because my free agency is months away.
At the risk of butting in, I don't know if this would make the Pelicans not want to do it. But what if the extension added only 1 year instead of two at that lower salary? Maybe that's the way to bridge the gap with Miles Turner, although obviously that makes it less appealing to New Orleans.
I think we'd probably be willing to do that. Yeah. So it'd be basically then like a 1 year, $31 million extension.
Okay.
Something in that range.
Yeah. Cause then I get out earlier. So right now as Turner's representation, he's in his age 26 season now. So that would be after his 27. He'll have turned 28 later in that season. I don't know yet about how much money teams are going to have then, but that seems significantly more palatable.
Yeah. I guess Indiana seems to think there's a lot of other interest in Miles Turner, and I'm not sure that there is.
Well, this may be self-dealing, but wraps here. I think we would be very interested in getting Miles Turner to pair with Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes and Fred VanVleet and Tyrese Maxey. And what were the picks that were offered from New Orleans?
2024, better of Milwaukee and New Orleans. 2025 first, but top four protected.
So probably two later firsts. Possibly better, but that's, I think, a fair description.
Milwaukee pick next year could have some upside.
Ooh.
Well, until you get into the protection.
But, I mean, if you get the 10th pick for Miles Turner, I think that's still a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. Dan, any of your teams interested in Miles Turner?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And
this is
mine,
working out well.
The Warriors, like, I know there have been murmurs about the Warriors for a long time. The matching salary is a bear. It would basically depend on the Pacers really liking some of our young guys, and we don't even necessarily want to do them in a deal for a guy who could leave unless Turner's, like, super willing to stay. And we don't even know if we're going to have the money for him.
I guess the only way one of my teams would be interested is if you view, like, a distant Clippers first rounder as more valuable than those two picks from New Orleans.
Would you make Terrence Mann available?
No.
Mavs here, how would you feel about a lightly protected future first from us?
For Miles Turner? But just one?
Yes. Because the matching salary and everything else, like this is going to be, you know, two firsts for a guy who's depending, unless Miles Turner says like straight up, like, I'm going to sign with you. And he is from Texas.
What's the matching salary? And if we took back Tim Hardaway Jr., could you make it two firsts?
We would want to protect them a little bit more, but then we could consider that. And we would need an indication from Turner that he would be very willing to resign.
I think if the money was right, he probably would. But you're his agent, Danny.
No, I can't be for this.
Miles Turner's from the Dallas suburbs. I think we can assume he's pretty.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Thank you. That's
How about if we make it Davis Bertans?
I mean, yeah, I think if that's fair, if we're doing it to get back the value. So what are we talking about in terms of protections here, Dallas?
I was thinking 2 years. So on the first pick, 2 years lottery. Otherwise, it reverts to, I mean, seconds. Let's put it that way. And then the second pick, we can do the second pick could be top four. That can be later because we're going to have to push this out. It'll be first allowable draft, but first allowable draft is going to be 25.
24. No. Oh, yeah. 25. Sorry.
25.
Okay. So 25 lotto protected.
Yeah. So 25 lotto, 26 lotto, and then it converts, and then 28 top four, and we could do top four again. Well, and then
or 20 starting in 27 and or just first allowable draft after that first one.
Yeah.
Top four protected.
Yes.
I think that's the best offer I've gotten so far on Miles Turner. And you know, right. Whatever. We'll take back Bertans. New Orleans, am I missing something about your offer?
You blanched it, Jonas Valanciunas' salary, but apparently not Davis Bertans's, which is surprising. But what picks would you need from us? Like the Lakers picks are off the table here, but we could potentially talk about some Milwaukee picks.
2027 Milwaukee unprotected.
I mean, I think in any scenario, we're going to want to top four protect these. Like that's been our MO. Like we're not going to give you a number one pick in the draft for this deal, but if you give you the number five, that's fine.
Man, this is so hard to. This is the same thing Danny and I went through, and we did that episode of ranking the picks. Just like let me call that up. Actually, that might actually really help me a lot here because this is okay. New Orleans or like Milwaukee or Dallas. Like which of these teams is going to be worse in 27? Well, I mean, part of the problem with these protections, like you already fucked the Blazers on this, that like these protections like revert into something that's like not even any good, right? So I think what makes it better about Dallas is I'm guaranteed to eventually get something.
I mean, the interesting thing, this is an aside, is that the whole talk when the Blazers got that New Orleans 2022 first round pick is that they were going to trade it for Jeremy Grant, and instead they got the 2025 Milwaukee pick and they traded that for Jeremy Grant. So it like, yeah. And then Detroit took on Kemba Walker's salary to literally turn that pick into the pick that New Orleans would have sent, number 13. So I don't think that difference was as big as it was made out to be.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about 2027 is, you know, we can basically guarantee you a first round pick. We'll just say better of ours or Milwaukee's as long as one of those is outside the top four.
Yeah. So that's good. So if one of them is in the top four, then I just get the other one.
Correct.
Okay. That's good to have. And coming back is, you're willing to do this deal now, New Orleans, without this whole renegotiation extension thing?
No, it was still contingent on the renegotion extension. Okay, but I thought that there was more willingness to do that at the 1 year level.
Yes, okay. There is.
I mean, if Miles Turner is really willing to do that, that would shock me if he's going to turn, you know, give up on the idea of like getting nine figures guaranteed for just like a, you know, this fast cash.
But to be a part history. Of, to be on a strong team, you know, I mean, the Mavericks are too, I guess, but the Pels could potentially make a big old jump.
Well, that's an interesting consideration, though, is if you decline this, if you know the Pacers would take the Mavericks offer, right? Yeah. You can't just look at it independently of Indiana or New Orleans. It's Indiana, New Orleans,
and
that's Dallas.
True. And it's his hometown, basically.
Right. He might scuttle it if the Pacers will take the Mavericks offer.
And you'd have Dallas in the bird rights trap when you expire this offseason. Well,
you'd have New Orleans in it too.
Yeah, but Dallas in it is more
after
juicy.
A year. Still, like there's a lot more risk there, I think.
Sure, absolutely.
And also, you just like getting to be an unrestricted free agent after this season is actually a good thing for him. Like I wouldn't want to, like, that's worth some value to me for him.
Dan, your point on it. I'm still, I guess, Miles Turner's agent. You can be it think about it for the second. I think this is a way for Turner to put his thumb on the scale. It's a really interesting one because the Pelicans are arguably a better team situation, but the combination of forces for Turner and Dallas, I'll say I'm now less willing to do that renegotiation extension now that I know that my beloved Mavericks are on the table.
Yeah. As I think taking over for Miles Turner's agent, I think that's correct. As biased as
we're
I am,
we're all Miles Turner's see... agent at one point or another here.
That's really, my only agenda.
All of us.
My only agenda is I want to see a renegotiation and extension and trade. Unfortunately, I don't think I can get on board.
I will note, if I wanted this to take an extra 20 minutes, I did think about, it might make more sense for the Mavericks to structure this as a renegotiation, extension, and trade as well. We will not do that. I'm not willing to go through this again.
Yeah, so Paul, KP, you're not willing to do it. Yeah, with the
KP, are you willing to do this without the extension?
I think, well, we could, like, Because we're limited to offering you a starting salary. I mean, I guess the question is, if you prefer coming to us with full bird rights, I mean, we don't think that there's necessarily going to be a team out there that's going to bid more than a $20 million starting salary. It made more sense for us, but yeah, I guess we probably would do it.
Okay, so what's your official offer now, Pels?
So it's 2024, better of Milwaukee or New Orleans, top four protected. That converts into a Chicago second round pick. And then the 2027 Milwaukee first, top four protected, converts into our 2024 first round pick, or 2027, I should say.
Wait, so why would you're saying like if somehow in 2024, both Milwaukee and New Orleans were in the top four?
Actually, that would be either in 2024 because it's a swap. That's not, we have both of them.
I see. Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern to not have the guarantee there. And then the other one is 2027, better of Milwaukee and New Orleans, top five protected or top four protected as well.
I mean, we could make that 2024 convert to our 2025 first round pick now that that's not in the deal.
Okay, yeah, that would be a little bit better.
We'd still want to protect that, but I mean, the odds that those are both in the top four back-to-back years are pretty low.
Pretty low. Yeah, particularly for the way this team is built right now. And then the 27. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a better than Dallas. I mean, Dallas, can you up your offer at all?
I don't think it's practical too. That's already a lot for us to give up. And if he's hitting unrestricted free agency, who knows? Maybe we can try to make something work.
So the other one here is this Raptors deal. And yeah, I mean, I guess we're that Milwaukee in 27, like that's pretty sexy. I think that's I would be surprised if the Milwaukee Bucks were good 2027. Trying to think of what a reasonable Raptors package would be that would compete with that New Orleans offer, because he is another guy who would just be like such a good fit with this Siakam and Barnes thing that we have.
Can Toronto even really afford him there? They've got luxury tax issues too. I guess they don't, because that.
Well, and once Tobias Harris, actually, I mean, maybe we could even put Tobias Harris in this deal to save us a bunch of money this year too. That might be part of it. And Indiana might even want to have Tobias Harris.
No, they wouldn't.
I mean, he's starting power four.
He
would actually help them. Well, I mean,
Indiana getting compensated
has all this cap room to just absorb stuff. And certainly, I'll put it this way: Tobias Harris is I'm more interested in having him at his price than some of the other guys that are coming back. This is just too complex. Does anyone want to take over Toronto here for me, please? Because I just can't. What's like a good do you think there's any way Toronto beats that offer? This self-dealing thing is tough. I
don't think
Dan, I guess, has to be the one. He's the only other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, can Dan trade Tobias Harris twice in the same podcast?
Living all of our life dreams.
Yeah, we'd have to count the number of times I've traded Tobias Harris, because I used to always have the Pistons when they had Tobias Harris. I feel like I traded him a couple times. The problem is that as much as I like Miles Turner, I probably like him the least of anybody on this podcast. So I think we've already gone too high.
Well, I think the other challenge here for the Raptors is how excited is he about re-signing, considering their other financial issues, and also the upside of the pick. Like, I don't think there's a draft asset that Toronto has that right now, if we go out that far in the future, that if the choice is basically a lightly protected Toronto pick or a lightly protected Milwaukee, like, I mean, because think about what this Raptors team is. They already have Scottie Barnes and Tyrese Maxey. They're run by Masai Ujiri. Like, there's an expectation that they'll probably try.
I'm ducking as I ask this, but would there be any interest in Miles Turner renegotiating and extending to the Raptors even more? Brilliant idea.
The sad part is I was just gonna make that same joke, Dan. I was so mad that you beat me to it.
the real sad part is I'm not joking at all. You know, because especially wrapping this into the other trade, you know, Tobias Harris's high salary, right? It makes all the sense to get Miles Turner's salary up this year and then decline it. And then New Orleans, we place value on that, you know, then it would increase our offer.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is just that Miles Turner just does not want to only sign for 2 years.
Well, no, but we could, I mean, we could go much higher. I mean, we could do, oh, that's right, because of the extended trade. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but we could be, I mean, we're not, I mean, we'd go up to maybe even his max or near his max this year and then decline it from there. Right? KP was, for New Orleans, they were, because they're a little more pinched, they were only adding, what, $11 million?
Correct. Although we could have potentially added more if Jackson, we can find a new home for Jackson Hayes at some point.
I mean, we could add, like, maybe we even do the full max. I think, what was that, $19 million adding? But maybe we do 15, 16, 17.
Okay, let's. For the interest of finishing this before my wife and child get home in a couple of days, Raptors make an offer. No renegotiation extension. Yeah, it's just too complicated.
If there's no renegotiation extension, I'll just tell you right now, we're not going to beat Dallas or New Orleans.
Fair. Okay. We'll take the New Orleans offer them.
Well, that was a lot of work, but we finally got there.
Hey, it's this is our most realistic one yet.
I'm not gonna go through all of the protection on the pick, but here's how I have it written down. The New Orleans Pelicans trade Jonas Valanciunas, a 2024 first round pick, which is top four protected and converts into a 25 first. And then in 27, the better of Milwaukee and New Orleans first, as long as it is not in the top four. And that those are the terms for, broadly speaking, for Miles Turner.
Correct.
Well, so the 2024 first, that's just New Orleans's own. I thought that was the better, no, it's, of, yeah, Milwaukee,
better of New Orleans or Milwaukee.
Oh, that's also better of New Orleans. Thank you.
Yeah. And then it converts to a 2025 New Orleans, also top four protected. And then some, I don't know, every second that you ever have, yeah, yeah, after that. Then 2 seconds, and then 2027, the better of Milwaukee and New Orleans, top four protected. And if it falls into the protection, then it becomes the lesser of those two picks. So this is, and in the matching salary is only Jonas Valanciunas.
And Devontae Graham.
And Devontae. Oh, so yeah, so we're taking on extra. Yeah, I mean, Jonas will, you know, he can play some pick and roll with Tyrese Halliburton, and that'll be fine.
My peanut gallery comment is I absolutely love the concept for New Orleans with the renegotiation extension, where they have a little more spending power this year and would want those savings in the future years. But I thought without that, the offer was too high.
I was interested in how you guys thought I approached this as Dallas, because like, I think Dallas would love Miles Turner, but he also doesn't like solve all of their problems, especially because it would change the concept of their defense. But I thought he is a really good player. He's probably the best player they can reasonably acquire.
Yeah, I think it's a lot for them to give up, because, I mean, you know, play, I guess you can play him in Christian Wood, although that's, you know, who of those guys is going to defend fours is, well, a real question. Well, and then, yeah, you, like, giving up those picks from Dallas's standpoint is pretty risky, given the,
yeah,
you know,
it seems like they still,
beyond Luka.
Yeah, it seems like they would be also just kind of saving that for, like, right, adding another high level role player around Luka. Like, that, it seems like they would be shooting higher than that.
Well, I don't know that they can get anything better than that, considering, unless Josh Green turns into a monster.
I think not right now, but like, once you have that pick obligation and the Knicks off the books and you can offer, you know, potentially four first round picks.
I mean, like, you know, like Pascal Siakam, who was like a player like that, is probably who they'd be looking for. And we just went through this exercise and he didn't get close to a full draft offer from anybody. So,
yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, because the hard thing with Luka is you're not necessarily looking for as ball dominant a player. Like, it's a more challenging fit than some of the other ones have been historically. Like,
I think what we've learned this season, they've got to get someone who can create a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
That is it for part one of the 8th annual mock trade deadline. There are a ton of fireworks coming in part two as well. Some really interesting trades, including one that I just couldn't even quite wrap my mind around. But we've got over 2 hours of action still to come here. We might see another Raptor get traded. We can find out if John Collins will ever actually be moved from the Atlanta Hawks. The contenders are going to try to get a lot better. Jay Crowder still available. The Warriors are going to look to be active at the deadline for the first year in some time. I've got some big plans for the Bucks. We'll see whether those come to fruition or not. The Miami Heat always do something at the deadline. The Nets are going to try to be active. Can the Cavs solve their small forward issues? I hope that you will join us and find out for the next 2 hours of the mock trade deadline. And of course, you can take advantage of our special sale for a year's membership You get access not only to 5 podcasts a week from me and Danny, not only access to the mock trade deadline, full breakdowns of every single playoff game, the trade deadline, every single signing during the offseason, the mock offseason, but now we've added Seth Partnow writing twice a week, and we reference his proprietary stats a lot. We've got Dan Feldman writing 5 times a week for us on the latest news, and also that's available in audio form in your podcast feed as well. There are a bunch of other perks. Our Discord, that I happen to think is the best, most positive space there is to discuss basketball among nerds. All 4 of us, me, Danny, Dan, and Seth, do monthly chats in the Discord as well. It could be a one-stop shop for all of your NBA following needs. And we're doing everything we can to create the deepest possible NBA content by bringing on Dan and Seth and significantly expanding our portfolio with John Hollinger and the Hollinger and Duncan podcast once a week. And we went out on a limb and decided to expand our offerings, and we hope that we will get more subscribers as a result. So please consider subscribing. And finally, if the financial circumstances are an issue at all, please check out my pinned tweet at Nate Duncan NBA, because we're never going to lose anyone over price. If it's truly an issue for you, we do have significantly reduced plans available. Again, details on that on my pinned tweet at Nate Duncan NBA. Thanks again for listening.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.